Yes, the news of the day is that Rick Bowness is not going to coach the Winnipeg Jets anymore. He's not going to coach anybody anymore, as the 69-year-old has announced his retirement from coaching after 38 seasons in the NHL. A lot of them as an assistant, but he spent over 800 games behind benches as a head coach. In his time with the Jets, 2.0, because he started with the 1.0 Jets, 2.0 Jets, 98, 57, and 9, a pair of Stanley Cup playoff appearances, a pair of five-round exits in game number one. They won the Jennings this year. He was a finalist for the Jack Adams Trophy this year. But this was news that isn't all that surprising, right? Given that he is 69, he has had some health stuff this year. His wife has had some health stuff over the time that he's been coaching this team. He also signed a two-year deal after almost retiring 2 years ago with the team option for a third. It kind of felt at the time, back then, I remember in 22, we were feeling, all right, Bowness is going to come in for a couple years, get this team steered right, and then he's going to walk away. And that's what we have here. And earlier today, he and Kevin Cheveldayoff spoke to the media about this decision.
It's kind of poetic, I guess, in a way, to have him getting his first coaching job in the National Hockey League here in Winnipeg and coming full circle and having the opportunity to go out on a note that he did. I'd like to congratulate him on a wonderful career, All-Star Game appearance this year, and to culminate it with being honored as being one of the three candidates for the Jack Adams. And again, all the things in the middle, when I got a chance to read the press conference, the press release, about the event here, is what an accomplished career. But I'd get to know that working with him, the career is second to the person that he really is and what he's brought to the game. So thanks very much, Rick. Thanks very much, Judy, the whole entire family. And I'll turn it over to Rick.
Yeah, well, thank you. You talked to me out of retirement 2 years ago, man. Judy and I are all set to call it a day at then. But if I was going to come back to coaching, I couldn't have picked a better place to come back to and to finish my career with. There's a big draw here, obviously, because of our previous experience here. We know the people that run the organization are fantastic people. This is a great organization, and it's a great city to play hockey in. That I knew. And we have a tremendous, passionate following here. And so I couldn't have picked a better place to come back to and to finish my career. We've got great players. I've been fortunate to have a great coaching staff and all the accolades, both the All-Star Game and the nomination. Man, it's the players and it's the coaches that got me there. And like I said a couple of times, how many coaches can take the month of November off and still be where we are? The coaches and the players deserve all the credit for that. But, yeah, it's been my pleasure to come back. It's been a real honor for me to coach the Winnipeg Jets again.
And so when did he make his decision to retire? Well, didn't take him long.
It's walking off the ice after Tuesday night. It is. I didn't like me. I didn't like the way our team played, which is on me. So I was unhappy with myself, unhappy that we had lost, and that bothered me. But as I was standing there and I was looking around, it dawned on me. Coaches have always told me, and I've talked to the older coaches, older than me, and they've always said, you'll know it's time. And when I was looking around, and just, I wasn't happy with the job I had done, and it just hit me then, like, it's time. I told the coaches an hour later that I'm done. I'm finished. I'm going to retire. And they're all looking at me, you sure? you want to take some time on this? But I knew. I knew in my heart it was time. And I think a lot of it goes back to a couple of years ago that we were, Judy and I have always talked about this for 7 years since we left Tampa. When I left Tampa, I had a couple of offers of 3 or 4 year contracts at other teams. I went to Dallas on a 1 year deal. Loved Jimmy Neal, trusted Jimmy Neal. They had Ben Bishop in the net, and I wanted to see if I wanted to keep going. And I loved my time in Dallas, so we've kept going. But there comes a time, and just right now just seems to be like the time.
Bone says his own health issues, plus his wife Judy recovering from a seizure, were also factors in this decision.
Oh, quite a bit. I mean, listen, like I said at the time, those are life-changing moments. They are. They are. And I'm still dealing with some minor issues that that I've got to get resolved. The last thing I wanted to happen was to me to come to Chevy and Chipper in November and say, I can't do this anymore. Like, there was no way I was going to let that happen. So there's some issues that we got to get fixed. Then they'll be fixed. If I was feeling it that night, there was no way I was going to get into the season and then say, I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore. I knew then that, okay, I got to take some time here.
And before he made this announcement today, before the news got out, the release was made, tried to tell as many players as he could.
I didn't want them to see it on the email. So I didn't call every player, no. I was going to call Mason Appleton, but he's busy with a new baby, so I didn't want to disturb that household. I saw Vladdy. I called Adam and a couple of the others. I called the captains and Bucky. I didn't get to call everybody, no. But I didn't want them to hear about it from somebody else. It had to come from me.
So we name-checked Lowry because he's the captain. We'll hear from him later on. But he also name-checked Appleton and Nemestikov there because they were there. They were still here in Winnipeg and attended today's media availability. So when you try to retire, he says to his assistants right away, I'm done. But the question is always, did anyone try to tell you, don't do this? You still got it.
Oh, listen, my kids are saying, come on, Dad, you can go for 50 years here. Let's go. Right? And that's easy for you to say. Right? No, honestly, they know me and they know that. You know, when I explain everything to them, they know it's time, right? So, you know, I'm going to be watching games. I'll be calling the players, bugging them all the time, and bugging the coaches. So that's all part of it. I'm not going very far, right? The TV's going to be right there, and we'll be watching the games. It's my life. It's the only thing I know. I'm not smart enough to do anything else, so it's not like I'm going to go into anything else. Hockey's my life. Hockey's what I know.
On Wednesday, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers will open rookie camp, 10:30 a.m. at the field beside Winnipeg Soccer Federation South. Not too newsworthy, right? Great that we're starting rookie camp. Great that football's coming closer. Some players that you'll see on the field this year, many that will not make the cut for the main roster. And then we find out today that Milt Stegall's going to participate in day one of rookie camp. A man who is very much not a rookie, who last played football in 2008, when some of the players attending rookie camp this week were like 6 years old. He's 54. And as the Bomber release describes him as, quote, 6 feet tall, 184, and still thin in the waist and cute in the face in the bio section, which I'm sure he said. He retired in 2008. He's been an analyst on TSN pretty much since then. Since 2009, he's been doing that. But he wants to do this, right? He wants to try to see if he can do it. And why not do it at rookie camp, right? You're not a distraction. Maybe a little bit. But hey, he wants to see if he can do it. And he has earned the right, I think, as one of the best receivers ever, a franchise legend. And so we got to hear from Milt today on his thinking of this quest to see how he does. And so the question was asked quite bluntly to him today. Why are you doing this?
Why? Because I have a big ego. Let's be honest. That's it. You know, I've been wanting to do this for years. I think when I turned 50, I told my wife, you know, I would love to go through a training camp. She thought I was crazy then. She thinks I'm crazy now. But over the last like year and a half, I spoke to my boss, Paul Graham, of course. And I was like, Paul, I want to do this. So he was like, well, speak to me in the off season again and I'll see what I can do. So right when off season started, I sent him a text and he was like, okay, let's see if we can make it happen. It's fortunate that I have a buddy who's the president of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers because, you know, I got in touch with Wade and he said, okay, let me talk to Mike O'Shea and see if we can make this happen. And as they say, the rest is history. So as I just told Darren, I'm excited and nervous. This is like my first training camp. That's what I feel like. Like this is my first training camp. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm just going to go out there and enjoy myself and have a good time. I'm playing with house money, as they say. So I'm looking forward to it.
And just a reminder, when he says this feels like his first training camp, his actual first training camp was 29 years ago in 1995. is when he broke into the CFL and appeared in 199 games after that. He elaborated on why he's doing this.
I just wanted to see what I could do in one day of training camp. It's always been there. It's always been a curiosity of mine to see what I could do. As I alluded to earlier, yes, it has a lot to do with ego. But I also understand, yes, I am 54 years old. Yes, me have an opportunity to get by these guys is very slim. It's going to take a lot. But I just want to see what I can do. I just want to go out there and have some fun with it, enjoy myself. I was talking to David Sanchez earlier, and he said, what do you want to get out of this? I would say I told him that Thursday I want to wake up and have that training camp soreness. That's something I've been longing for 16 years. There's nothing else like it. I've been trying to get sore. I've been working out, but there's nothing that can duplicate that training camp soreness. So I'm hoping when I wake up Thursday morning, I'm walking around like an old man because I'm so sore. So that's what I'm really looking forward to.
And some people online were like, why isn't Davis coming out? You guys should go one-on-one. Settle it on the field. But no, for Milt, this is what he wants to try and do. And what happens if he, you know, does well?
If that was to happen, if I was able to go out there and show up these young cats, I'd be looking into the Winnipeg scouting department like, how is this 54-year-old man out here showing up these 22-year-olds? So that would be a big problem if that happened. I may be one or two guys, one route out of 20 or 30. I'm realistic with myself. But if that happens on a consistent basis, they may need to get some new players in there.
Valid point. He is 54. He's a legend. He's amazing. He is 54 years old and admits that some of his skills are probably not what they used to be.
It's been probably about 10 years since I've caught some balls because, you know, my kids, they're soccer players. We're not catching any balls. And I used to train with a bunch of guys who were still playing in the CFL who stayed down here. But all those guys have retired. So that's the one thing I'm concerned about. Hopefully I can get out there early and catch some balls. But it's been a while since I've actually caught some balls on a consistent basis from some quarterbacks. So they say you don't forget, but we'll find out. I don't think it's like riding a bicycle, but we'll find out. We'll find out.
I think he'll be okay. I think he knows how to catch a football. That's probably just in his DNA at this point. So I mentioned it's been almost 3 decades since his first training camp, and he shared memories of that experience.
But I do remember that first camp. That was Kyle Murphy's last year. And it was – we were at the University of – where were we? What's the name of the – yeah, and it was ugly. I was like, God, Lee, this is worse than NFL camp. You know, Kyle Murphy was old school. It was only 2 weeks. But we were hitting every single day, every single practice. I didn't think I was going to make it through. So, fortunately, that doesn't happen anymore. As I alluded to earlier, you can't look at the players wrong in camp anymore. You can't hit them anymore. So – I think I'll be okay when it comes to that.
And are there going to be special rules for him as a Hall of Famer?
Well, with the way the training camps are now, you can't touch receivers anyway. So it doesn't matter anyway. So, and when I played, I mean, I was so valuable. They didn't allow anybody to touch me, so I won't get hit. But, you know, if there's a trip up, these guys are trying to make the team too. And I'm sure Mike O'Shea and his coaching staff, they're not going to put me in situations where they're, you know, evaluating others and have me in there. I don't know what they're going to put me in, but I don't think they would put me into that. So whatever they allow me to do, I'm going to go out there and give 100% whatever that is and enjoy every single moment of it.
I would imagine more people are going to come out now to watch day one of rookie camp because Milt Stegall's going to be out there. And this isn't just a stunt for him. He feels this is an important part of his legacy.
Milt, if you're waggling from the slot and you get free deep and catch a ball and then someone chases you down from behind, does your record still stand?
Stop. That's never going to happen. That's never going to. I'll find a way to. You're not going to. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm not going to get caught from behind. If I get behind one of these defenders and catch a ball and I have an opportunity to run away from them, I'm going to do whatever I can to not get caught behind. I'll find a way. I'll find a way, believe
me. That's a major bragging point that you have for your career. Not the fastest,
yes,
but never got caught from behind.
Yes.
You're putting that at risk, man. That's a risk.
But if I can get behind one of these defenders, man, that says a lot right there. That says a lot.
Now, he's joked around a bit here about, you know, if these guys can – if I beat them, my God. But he does have a lot of respect for guys trying to make the team.
Coach O'Shea and his staff, I think they'll make sure that there's no interference with these guys who are fighting for their jobs. I don't know if they're going to say this guy is 54 years old. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we know Mike O'Shea, how he handles situations. He won't let anything get in the way of these guys having an opportunity to make the team. Whoever I go up against, whatever drills I'm in, he'll make sure that it's structured a certain way. I think he will. That's what I'm thinking, that it's structured a certain way where it won't interfere with these guys having an opportunity to make the team. Because I would never want to be in that position. If I was a young guy and I'm fighting for my life and I see this old guy who has a receding hairline come in here and trying to beat me, I would never want that to happen if I was a young guy. So I'm sure Mike O'Shea and his staff will make sure there won't be any interference with those guys having an opportunity to make the team.
So once again, the practice session is scheduled to run from 10:30 a.m. to 12:55 p.m. at the field beside Winnipeg Soccer Federation South. He will also attend some team meetings that day. He just wants the full training camp experience at the age of 54. This session is open to fans. I reckon the Blue Bomber social team will be sharing a lot of footage. They might even be filming behind the scenes stuff and releasing that some kind of day in the life of Milt Stegall thing. And so that is something to look forward to. And of course, when we have Derek Taylor on Wednesday, I'm going to ask him first question, how'd Milt look? And we'll probably have Milt scrum audio. And it's probably going to be super entertaining because when was the last time you heard Milt Stegall talk and didn't have a good time? I'm not sure that's ever happened.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the CJOB Sports Show podcast. If you like what you heard, guess what? You can hear more every weeknight on CJOB from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Thanks again for tuning in. Subscribe if you'd like. We're available on iTunes and other places, I'd imagine. So farewell until we meet again.
Come on, and thanks for all the fish. So sad that it should come to this. We try to warn you of the deal. You may not share our intellect, which might explain your disrespect.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.